Sheba heard about this. She called in Nathan the prophet and Solomon and said, you were promised by your dad that you'd be king. And so the word spread around that instead of Adonijah being the king, that the Solomon was going to be king. When the crowd or the people of Israel heard that, they fell in behind him. And when David kind of took over the duties of a king, he realized what an overwhelming situation he was in, all the decisions he had to make, all the problems he had. So he went to God in prayer. He was a prayerful man, and he had God in his heart, and God found favor in him. He had a long prayer to God. He said, God, just give me wisdom. I want to be able to discern these problems that are brought before me. I just want to know how to solve them. He says, I'm understanding now by looking and seeing what my dad went through. This requires a lot of problem solving. He said, just give me wisdom. When God heard Solomon's prayer, he was so pleased that he didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for riches. And he didn't ask for victory over all of his enemies, but instead he asked for wisdom. So God said, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, he said, but you'll get all these other things added to it. And then, of course, we have the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, which comes after it, which is for our benefit to learn what is the value of wisdom. And I hope that we're going to explore some of that today. We've all studied or heard of Proverbs over the years. I've tried to go back through it because it's one of the books that I like. And I'm going to take a situation in today's stuff that we face today. Any problem that we face today, by the way, I want you to know, there's an answer to that problem in Proverbs. You say, well, things that exist today, they don't exist back then, but the situation will be the same. If you don't find a direct proverb that correlates with that, you'll find other scriptures in Proverbs that will correlate to that problem. So I thought today, for a change, I'd go through some of the problems that we face today. And then we'll see what Proverbs has to say about it. And I think if you would take the time to study Proverbs in detail, that as these problems come about us, and it doesn't matter your age, whether you're a young fellow or whether you get old. In fact, I'm not so sure the more these problems come along, we get older than we have when we're younger. But regardless of that, if you take the time to go into Proverbs, you'll find that there are answers there where we've been perplexed over the years. Well, what should I do? How should I do that? What's the right decision here? You'll find the answer there. Not only that, you'll find out if you study Proverbs enough, this is a promise from God. If you study Proverbs and get his wisdom, then all these other things such as, I need money for a car, I want another house, I got problems with my children, you'll find there's answers here that you can solve your own problems. You don't have to be perplexed and tear your head or wonder what happened. It's too late when your child is old and grown and you're going out into the world and say, where did I go wrong? These answers to how you handle those problems are right here and there. And it's too late after we struggle through life trying to make ends meet. Say, so, you know, I had this opportunity, if I'd just taken advantage of it. This opportunity came up when I was 20 years ago. This promotion was available at such and such a time. If I'd just taken advantage of it, then I wouldn't be having these problems I'm having now. Whereas I can't cover everything that we face today because they're endless, I can go to ones that I think are pertinent as far as some that repeat themselves over and over. I'm going to go into situations or try to present situations, and then you digest it as I present it to you. If you know the scripture in Proverbs that answers that, then I want you to just go ahead and tell me. If you don't know that, then we're going to go to Proverbs to where that that particular subject is covered. I'm going to start off with number one, because this is, we like to, as human beings, like to compare ourselves to other people. And a lot of times, we compare ourselves lower than other people. There are times when we, either way is wrong, by the way. If you compare yourself greater or lesser, either way is wrong. But we get into business situations or church situations where we feel like that our background or education is not adequate. You know, we don't know as much as these people know. You hear these people quote scripture endlessly and go off on these dissertations of why this or why that. And we kind of feel like that we're out there alone. We feel like we're not the smartest knife or the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, that others are more intelligent. When you're in a situation like that, and I don't care if you're a student of the Bible or you're just learning the Bible, you got to stop thinking like that. I'm going to tell you what we want to do to ease your mind that's not going or should not be a problem to you. Let's start with Proverbs 1. Go to Proverbs 1. And I want to read verses 1 through 7, or have someone read verses 1 through 7 for us. This is where we're sitting down there and we think, well, they're much smarter than I am. Their education, they've gone to college, they've gone here, they've gone there. They've been in the Bible for years and I've only been in it for months. Look what Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 says. Somebody read those. Listen to them. When the Bible talks to you, listen to it. Go ahead.
All right. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing. Now I'm reading from there.
It's okay. We follow you.
In righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and description to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the word of the wise and their will. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Who despises wisdom and instruction?
Okay. Let's go back to the basics here. What is he telling you? He says, first of all, in verse number 5, he says, listen. Open your ears up. Just sit there and listen. You don't have to be talking. You don't have to be bragging about how much you know or repeating how much you've remembered. Just listen. He says, when you do that, you'll get understanding. By listening, you'll start to understand what this thing is all about.
Amen.
And then he says, then by understanding, you will get wise counsel. Here's a promise from God. If you sit down there amongst people with the are supposed to be wise or have good judgment, listen to what they have to say. You don't have to participate and say, I know this, I know this, I know this. Just listen to what they have to say. And then once you do that, then you'll start getting understanding. And then once you get understanding, then that will lead to wise counseling. In other words, you'll be able to reason with yourself. Where should I go here? What decision should I make here? What advice, good advice, can I give this person here? Let's also go, if you flip over right here, chapter 2, 1 through 9. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. Somebody read 1 through 9 of chapter 2.
Yea, if thy eyes have the knowledge and lifteth see the path of judgment and preserve the way of the saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path.
All right. The Lord gives it to you. He's not selling it to you. He's not making you work hard for it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you wisdom. And then he says, once you get that, then you will understand righteousness and judgment, equity, and every good path to take. In other words, we'll stop making some of those stupid mistakes that we make in life because we lean on our own judgment. Okay. Not one thing in all these verses you read here, said anything about you being a smart person. That you being wiser than anybody else in your community. Or that you had extra intelligence. None of that was said here. It said, open your ear and listen, and you'll hear. All right, here's another situation. All my friends seem to be doing better than I am. And they seem to be happier than I am. And I know that they're out there in the world. I know they're doing worldly things. But yet they seem happy and doing better. Sometimes they're even doing things against the law. You know about it, they're breaking the law. They try to entice or tempt me and say, come on, man, we're having fun. Come on, man, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. Come on, go with us. We're going to have some fun. What does Proverbs tell you to do? In that case, you remember? How about Proverbs 1? Go back to chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. 10 through 19, verse chapter 1. Somebody read that for me.
My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw any lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Pull back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor.
Don't be tempted by those whom you think are really having it good. And you're having a tough time. They are really easing on through life by doing worldly things. You know, everybody... Back in the old days, they used to think the major gangsters, you know, because they had all this money they were stealing or robbing or taking from people, that, boy, they got it made. Well, we think the movie stars because they got all this money. Oh, man, they got, if I had that kind of money, man, I have it made. I'm going to tell you, their problems are just as bad or worse than the ones you have. We have God to go back to. We have God that we can help us solve problems, and they do not. That's why the probably in the movie world is probably about an 80 to 90% divorce rate there. Very, very few of those marriages last in the entertainment world. So we always look at other people and, oh, they've got it made. They're really having fun. They are miserable people who want you to join their misery. They want company in their misery. And you can come back to your friends in life, Wesley, like back in our younger days, we had, you know, they just don't understand, you know, how in the world can you get up and go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, go Wednesday, do this and do that. Man, you got to come out with us. They're miserable people. They'll never tell you they're miserable people until it's going to be too late. They'll tell you how miserable they are. So don't be enticed by what you think other people have got. And yet they're out in the world doing worldly things. Anybody got any comments about that? Okay. Situation. Why do I need wisdom? What value is it to me? How in the world can wisdom help me? I need money. I don't need wisdom. I need money. I need some help. I need another house. I need another car. I need this. I need that. Wisdom would be, wisdom's not going to help me. How do I, why in the world do I need wisdom? Proverbs 2, 1 through 15. I want to go there. Just right over where you were. We already read 1 through 9, so let's go through 10 through 15 in that. Look what wisdom will do for you. Listen, this is why you need wisdom. Somebody read those 10 through 15.
When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who lead the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. Those ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths.
That's right. So you're going to know why you need it. You want to keep away from all those things that plague us and plague the world out there. You want to stay away from those things. But more than that, wisdom will let you make wise decisions on a daily basis. Wise decision on how to spend your money, where to spend your money, when to give discipline to your child, when to hold back and discipline a child, when to say this and when not to say this. We can all look back on our life and say, boy, if I'd have kept my mouth shut, I hadn't have put my foot in my mouth at that time, you know, the problems would have gone away, or they would have been much easier than what they have been. And this is true in marriage. You know, we said things in our marriage that we regret, that we should never say. Wisdom gives you that. It says, hey, hold your peace. Hold your peace. And that's another thing we're going to enter into in Proverbs here shortly. Hold that mouth. Hold that tongue. The tongue's a powerful thing. It's hard to control. Yeah, Wes.
I was just thinking, you just said it, that most of the time, at least I can speak for myself, I didn't get wisdom until after I had experienced the downfall of the mistake, you know, after the mistake was made. And then later, I realized I should have did this. And it's the same way, if I could have, should have, would have. Then you get the wisdom. But beforehand, I'm thinking off my mind of, well, I think I got this. I think I know which way to go. It's because you don't have patience.
There's one thing in life I regret. I regret not getting into Proverbs when I was much younger, because I could have saved myself and my family a lot of grief. There's just no question I could have saved my family and myself. And it's a good thing to learn from mistakes so we don't repeat them. But that's not the only way to learn. You know, you can learn from Proverbs. You can learn how to make good decisions without always making mistakes.
Well, you can also learn from others' mistakes, too, if you're smart. Dale has said this many times. He says, nobody's useless. They can always be a bad example, if nothing else. and it is true. I mean, you know, it talks about being lured into the world with, and then, but you look at it and think, why would I want to go there whenever I see there are people that are in jail or have died or whatever as a result of that? So, but we have this tendency sometimes to think, oh, that won't happen to me.
Won't happen to me.
They just didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I'm smarter than that.
How many times, no, okay, come on, be truthful. How many times have you seen three men working on something, and one of them hits their thumb with a hammer or something? Oh, he just wasn't doing it right. Let me do it. Hand me that. You know, but that's the truth. We really got to look at some of the mistakes other people have made. Not look down on them because of it, but, you know, to say, I don't want to end up in that situation, too.
The worst mistake we make is we don't look at the instruction book.
Exactly.
And here's the instruction book. Here it is right here, going to tell you how to do this thing. We men, some of you know.
Yes.
Yes. I'll say yes.
I didn't start anything.
I'll say yes to that.
Maybe you don't need to read the children's Bible because there's illustrations.
I don't even understand the illustrations. At least I don't look at the illustrations on the doggone. Only when I hit my hand on the hammer, I might go back and look at the picture and say, "Hey, you're only supposed to have a hammer here. You use a screwdriver."
I mean, the person that one time we had a discussion, which person in the Bible would you like to meet most and talk to? And for me, it was Samson. I want to say, "What were you thinking? How many times did she do this?"
I know.
And you went back and did it again. But you know, he didn't learn from his mistakes, obviously. But yeah, sometimes we have to learn from others' mistakes too.
And Solomon, with all his wisdom, made some mistakes.
Oh yes,
he made some big mistakes, but he at least left those for us to understand
too.
There you go. Left those for us to understand. Okay. Situation: your friend or neighbor comes to you for help. Any kind of help, mostly financial help, and you're caught a little off guard. You know that you're kind of able to help in some way, but it's come on to you all of a sudden, and you don't want to make any quick and bad decisions, but you know they need help, and they're genuine in their need for help, and you have a tendency to put it off, or put them off, I should say. Like when the lights came on. Proverbs 3:27-28. Proverbs 3:27-28. We've all had this happen to us. I'll tell you where we mostly have this to happen to us, and of course we're in a position where we have to make a quick decision, is when you pull up to a stop sign, or you pull up to an intersection in the road, and there's a desperate looking person there asking for help. And again, wisdom comes in here, and sometimes more than wisdom, sometimes they tug at your heart. But you know, we'll discuss that later on. Let's read these two verses first, and then we'll come back to it. 27 and 28, somebody read those two verses. Of Proverbs 3.
Do not prevent him who is able from doing good. When you are able, do good yourself too. Do not say to your friend, "Go away and then return. Tomorrow I will give you." When you are able to do so, give me the blessing.
And we're faced with a dilemma almost daily. Almost daily, particularly if you take some of the same routes that I take, because they become favorite places for people to set up shop or to be standing there. What do you do in those situations? Go ahead, Chuck.
What we've done, Kathy and I, we go ahead and put together care packages. We have a plastic bag that you get from Walmart or wherever, with a couple bottles of water, some power bars, different things. We wrap it up and set it down in the back of the car, right there by the side, so that when we do come up, we're able to reach over and hand it to them.
Well, I wish I'd known that. What wisdom. Mm-hmm. I have not done that, but I will take that to heart.
And then the plan is to put a piece of the scripture in there. I don't know, hey,
did everybody hear that? Let's all think about that. Yeah, well.
Here I had a experience a couple of Sundays ago when we were down in Carpenter Creek. We came out of church. I came out first. Definitely went to get some inspection. I walked to the car and the guy came up to me and asked me, I can't remember the exact words now, but it was something more like to the tune of, you know, I'm trying to get somewhere, and can you help me with a couple dollars, you know? And it immediately, I had the feeling that you come to me to do just something to come out of church, you know. But then right behind that feeling was like, okay, go ahead, give it up, you know, and help him out. Once you give it, let the Lord handle it from there on, you know, because this is what you're supposed to do. A lot of times I've seen this happen. I mean, you go in Richmond anywhere, you see people on the corner all the time. And it's every day, you know, some same people every day, random people, the same people every day. And like, they don't work. I mean, you know, some of them might can't work. You know, this is all they can do. And you feel like, okay, I gave you something yesterday, I can't give you nothing today, you know. Or either you have a tendency, because I've realized within myself now sometimes, I know that the devil is constantly working just like God is constantly working for bad boys. The devil is always making pitfalls and doing stuff to throw us off, clouding our judgment and whatnot. And we're not supposed to judge people, but we look at some people like, oh, you know, I see you can't be needing that much, but you got this, you got that, you know, you're asking me for money, but you wearing clothes better than I wear, you know, you look better than I do. Or you see people that are looking kind of scraggy, or, you know, like they're having a rough time, and then you're judging them, but not knowing that, you know, not thinking that you're judging. But we try to remember what we're supposed to be doing, and it's not going to kill you to give up $1 or $2. And like Chuck said, you're going to get a blessing for it, but let God have it. After you give it, you did your part.
Yeah.
What they, in Newport News now, they have signs everywhere, especially at the major shopping areas, that says do not encourage panhandling. They said, here, they give you the phone number, and they say the city has resources for this. So, I know, I guess what you could do is if you could find out if you could get to that, but they're really trying to discourage this. And I know, and there are people in need, but there are also people out there who are getting the money to go get drugs, or there are people actually going and getting in good cars. They're not going to, I mean, and that's why I feel, that tugs at me, because I think, okay, then what I need to be doing is maybe giving to the local food pantry or whoever is doing this to give to these people. Personally, it's not an issue for me because I can't scrape together a dollar out of my purse right now. I don't carry cash. I just do not carry cash. So that's why I really like this idea right here where you just have bottles of water and stuff in your car. And that way, if they truly have a need, that's something they need right there.
And again, the blessing is far greater than what it costs us to provide it.
Uh-huh.
First of all, to do what God wants his children to be a light in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our responsibility. That's our privilege. That's something that we should all be looking for. So how can we do good to our fellow man who's down? And yes, God give us wisdom to understand that if you are definitely aware that they're taking the money from drugs, that you make that decision. But to me, that's how they stop it. But again, if you don't know what they're doing with the money, God will judge accordingly.
But if they're going to use the money for food or refreshment, then that's where I like that. Because one thing, you save them some time anyway.
Right.
It's already there. So.
And then, the Lord will bless them. The Lord bless them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's our intentions that we got to worry about.
Yes, to do good. And then again, in order to do that, sometimes it takes some preparation on our part.
Yeah. So, I like the being prepared with that kit. I really do that.
That's a great idea.
There's also, gift cards at McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
Put those in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brian.
I had a situation with Christopher. We came out of Hardy's one day. The guy came up and asked for a couple of dollars, and I asked him, if it was going to take him to buy you something to eat. And he says, I'm not allowed in there. It was that very situation. Thing. And I said, tell me what you want. This is an opportunity to show Christopher that.
Yeah.
That pretty much told me that he was in need. So me and Crystal went back in there and brought him some food, and we came back out and gave it to him.
That's the thing that torments me sometimes is when it comes back to me, when saw I thee stand on the corner asking for food? And I didn't stop. Yeah. Yeah, Charlotte.
That's what I was getting ready to say. You might not always have a bag. You might not have money yourself to prepare a bag. Me, myself, I keep a lot of change in my truck. But I'll go down in my prison and, you know, give you change. But if I don't have it to give, I always got God's word. I always can say a kind word. I always can tell you about God. That's enough right there. Now, whether you take that word, that's on you. I'm giving it, and I'm giving it full-heartedly. Because you do, like Wes said, you see the saint, and the summertime coming in. So it's going to get crowded. It's going to get full. And I always wonder, well, where are you all in the wintertime? This is what I wonder. Because if you're hungry, you're hungry. Summer, you're hungry all the time, but the summertime seems to be more when you see the people, and where hurt me the most. When I see the people out there with children, you are begging for money and you got this little child in the hot. Now, I would give whether I know what you're going to do with the money or not because you have this child. That hurt me so bad. And if you all are doing it, and I would say, Lord, if they are playing people with that child, you would deal with them because you got that child out
there
trying to get money. You know, for good or for bad.
What Dale's parents' church did is they started a charge account with a store that was just down the road because they were on a major highway and people were constantly coming by and asking. And so the people would say, oh, thank you, I need gas to get somewhere. They say, okay, you go down there and you get your gas and they'll send us the bill. And now, there were about two out of three that would get real offended with that because they wanted cash. But that's the way to handle it because that way you're weeding out those people that are not doing it because of need, but because they're trying to, and they're being good stewards of the Lord's money that way too.
We're not going to cover anything today. We can go on and on. We can go on and on about this. And I have a couple of stories that I could tell. One of them I'm going to tell you, I hope to get over real quick. I remember 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, Peggy and I were going to the Petersburg Post Office, and we'd come there. There's a lady out there begging outside the post office. And I don't think at that point we ignored her, but as we got in the car and circled Peggy and said, I really feel like she's sincere. I'm really worried about her. So I circled the block. And sure enough, we come around there and we catch her before. She'd walked away, but we caught her. And we offered to take her to a restaurant. I think an A&B restaurant or something like that was downtown Petersburg. We tell her, she said, well, let me come in. I smell too bad. And so then you have to give them some money.
You do.
You know, and let them go to a grocery store, whatever they've got to do.
Or bring them some food. Yeah.
Okay, we could come back on this, but I got some good ones I want. I said some good situations, some that we face every day. Situation, your kinfolk, your brother, your mother, your sister, your son, your daughter come to you and want you to co-sign for their car, want to co-sign for their home, a debt loan they have. You really have it in your heart to do something like that. They're kin to you, or they're very, very dear friends. What's your response? Proverbs 6, 1-5. Listen to what the Lord says here. Save yourself a lot of grief. Save yourself a lot of grief. Somebody read 6:1-5.
Of the judgment, and we get
That's good. Good enough. All right. Is there any part of that you don't understand? You say, well, I want to help them. Well, if you want to help them and you can afford to help them, you give it to them. If they come back and repay you, that's okay. That's great.
I wonder if they have lending money, though.
But don't think about they owe you this money and you've got that debt on the back of your mind and you're going to keep it on your mind until they give it to you. And if they don't ever give it back to you, boy, you'll never forgive them. That is the sinful part. If you can afford to, forgive the debt. That's what you should do. First of all, you should never get yourself in a position to do that. So you sign your name on a piece of paper. If you can come up with it, or if you can help them in some way, then you feel free. If they come back and pay you, that's great. That's great. We've had instances where people have come to the church, you know, and they said, we're in a certain situation, we need help, we need there. And says, I'll pay it back. Well, the Lord doesn't lend money. The Lord doesn't lend money. You want to give it back to the Lord, you give it back. But the Lord's not in the Lord lending money. The Lord will get you or help you get out of that situation. But he doesn't consider the debt that you owe him. Okay? There are a lot of other verses. That's what I'm saying. I'm running out of time. There are a lot of other verses on this very same situation that I've got written down here. We don't have time to explore them all. You ready?
I just want to say it. That's a dangerous thing. You get yourself caught up in prophesying. I've done it from a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if you will give it to them, give it to them. But I don't believe in just lending money. You know, I mean, first of all, I can't afford it. But if I can help you out of that, and just leave it alone.
You can imagine, I'm one of 11 kids. If all of us had come to our mom and dad, asked them to co-sign for this and co-sign for that, man, they'd have been in the poorhouse. They would have been the one we'd had to bail out. Don't get yourself in. If you can't afford to do it, then don't do it. Just don't get involved in it. You know, I'm sorry is another way. If you seriously can't do it, I'm sorry. That should be sufficient. But I'll help you in what I can help you with.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry I can't do it. Okay, but how much more we have time? One more thing. Let me see. I've got pages of these. All right. I want to live longer. I'm not done here yet. This life is too short. I got things to want to do, places I want to go, and people I want to see. I'm not ready to go. Go on and on. All right, Proverbs got an answer for that. You want a longer life? Somebody go to Proverbs 3:1-2. Back up here to 3:1-2. There's a promise. There's a promise. They'll prolong your life. You keep his words. You get in the book. You want a long life? We've got more verses to think you do that. Go to 16. Verse 16, the same thing. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. You want more days? You want more riches? You want more wealth? They're in their right hand. Wisdom's right hand. Proverbs 10:27, real quick. We probably got time for this. That's the last verse on that subject that I've got. 10:27. Ah, the gaining of knowledge, by the way, is the fear of the Lord. Once you understand that, that's when the knowledge starts. So if you want some long days, the fear of the Lord will prolong those days. Give you more days. You know, some of us say, hey, we're through here. We've had our time. We're out of here. But some of us would still like to live a couple more days. If you want them, there's the answer to them. I got a bunch of these things, and of course, I can go through Proverbs, and most any problem that you think you've come up with, we could find your scripture on. Maybe we'll come back to this one day and finish this thing up. Thank you, guys.